Dungeons and Dragons, that's the show you're listening to, will begin in a moment. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
A light breeze is blowing through the stable, and the children are surrounding Aladdin, who's handing out many baguettes. Is that from the copper kettle again?
Yes, it is.
And they didn't have any butter this time, hey?
We do not complain.
No, but it was just so tasty the last time, right, everybody?
You don't want it. I'll eat it.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just
You're
saying.
Not complaining? It sounds like
I'm
you're
not complaining. I was just saying maybe I could go find some if you didn't have any in that pocket right there.
In what pocket right where?
That one right there.
You think I have butter in my pocket?
I think you have butter in your pocket.
You want to check my pocket, Tally?
No, I don't want to check your pocket.
Be weird. Also, it's not where you keep butter. I'd keep it in my bucket if I had any. And you know I'd give you some.
I'm not saying you wouldn't.
Well, I think you just said that. Anyway, okay, gather around, everybody.
This is where she hands out the butter.
Tally's going to be super disappointed, you guys. You hear her talking like this? Did you want me to bring you a 4-course meal? Maybe some wine?
What's wine?
It's what you're doing right now about this bread. Now, shut your yap. And Aladdin breaks up the bread and divvies it out. And they're all sitting around on the ground around a low crate. It's very like Japanese style seating, kind of, that what we've got going on here. We're on the floor with low table. And Aladdin says, all right, you guys, so I want you to stop for a second right before you take a bite, and we're going to say, thank you, Mrs. Figglesworth. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Thank you, Mrs. Figglesworth.
Okay, dive in.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him, and Dungeons & Dragons stars Amy Moore as Aladdin. She, her.
And on that horrifically graphic note, Aladdin lights one of her candles.
Tom Laird is Kevlarin Goldweave, he, him.
Well, I really haven't. And, you know, we share a desk a lot of the times when we're at work. And so I would have noticed.
And Carla Maxted, she, her.
It a little bit smells like a brewery when the two of you entered.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production and supported by our patrons. You can find that at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Hey, sign up for a 7-day free trial. And now, fuck it, let's play! Bench and Cav have made their way and are standing outside the Sweet Apothecary. The Sweet Apothecary is the only apothecary in Wintersmith, and it's owned by the twins Ursula Major and Ursula Minor. Two lovely human women who pride themselves on the finest remedies, the most delightful potions. And as you are about to walk towards the door, Bench taps your shoulder and says,
Have you been in here yet?
No, I walk by it all the time, but never have gone in.
They're lovely. Don't touch anything. Don't drink anything. Not unless you pay for it. Of course, no samples. We don't want to florp, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, definitely want to avoid that. I don't think they do that anymore, though. I heard that they don't do that anymore with the mystery potion.
Right. Well, just in case. Okay, let's go.
And he swings the door open, and the two of you walk in, and you're hit with this perfumed smell of lavenders and chamomile and another thing that smells really good.
I was thinking it was going to be like patchouli.
I thought so too, yeah.
Yes, mixed in also patchouli. Mm. Yes, thank you.
Bergamot came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go.
Nice.
A little bell jingles as the door opens. You step in on creaky wood floors, and there's a few small tables throughout the space and shelves lining the walls. And then through a beaded curtain behind the register come two women. And Carla and Amy, as you have declared that you wish to play these characters, I would like you to describe Ursula Major and Ursula Minor as you enter the space.
So we walk out, and Ursula Minor is at least a head taller than Ursula Major.
I love you so much. This is exactly what I was thinking. Obviously. Minor is big and Major is small. Obviously. I am picturing, because their name is Ursula, so all I'm picturing is, I guess, Divine / Ursula, the sea witch.
Sure,
because
absolutely.
That's how brains work. The Little Mermaid really imprinted on me.
100%.
Yeah. Which I can kind of see, sort of, like Ursula's hair could be sort of West Coast 60s, like in her 60s, not from the 60s, but like Gulf Island hippie kind of like, you know, the cool older ladies who have fun dyed colored hair.
Absolutely.
And wear like jingly things.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
you
lots
know.
Of bangles,
yes.
Beads,
scarves.
You know all those clothes that when you go to the farmer's market or any kind of like outdoor market,
you know exactly
the clothes I'm talking about, right?
This is exactly what I was picturing. Harem pants, a lot of bamboo
beads,
fiber.
A lot of beads.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, this is, yeah. Yes, 100% what I was picturing.
It's a lot.
It's
a lot. You'd be like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like Coco Chanel say, get dressed and take off one accessory, and they could take off like 10 accessories each and maybe still be a little bit overdressed.
Mm-hmm.
But they love it, and more power to them.
Oh, customers.
Yes, sister, customers. Hi, come in, Pinch.
How can we help you?
Hello, Ursulas. Hello, Ursulas.
Who's your friend?
This is Newton. This is Cav. This is Ursula Major and Ursula Minor. They are the proprietors of this establishment.
Cav, so
pleasure
nice
to
meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
I'm Major, my sister Minor.
Oh, that's very, it's not what I, okay, yep, gotcha.
Nothing is as you'll expect in this shop.
Yeah, don't drink any of the samples, just.
Do have a delicious oolong that we've been brewing. Would you like some of that?
No, thanks. I just had a couple questions for you guys.
Sister questions. We like customers best, but second best, we like questions.
Well, we might buy something. We'll see how it goes. I'll take an oolong.
Okay, great. Here you go.
Cavalier, and I'm like,
It's just tea. It's okay.
Yeah. Cross our hearts, you'll find it. Nothing funny.
Yeah, Cav is allergic to tea. He just burnt his tongue real bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We have something for that.
We have a cell, don't we, sister?
Mm. Oh, well, we'll talk more about that in a bit.
Hard in the mouth. Maybe something he could gargle with, sister?
Yes, I'm thinking of the blue one in the back.
That would probably be really good for you. Mm-hmm. If you have any canker sores, it'll clear that right up as well.
Noted on that. What's this one for? And he holds out like the empty potion container.
May I?
Absolutely.
Ursula Minor takes it and takes the cork off and smell that, sister. What do you think?
Ooh. Sister, you know what this one is?
Yes, but why didn't we label it?
Yes, that isn't like us. As you can see, we do like a label here. We do
impeccable
like everything.
Labels, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, did it, maybe it just got taken off? I don't know why.
Where did this particular bottle come from?
Well, my coworker, a friend, Oak. I don't know if you know Oak. But he didn't show up for work today. So I'm trying to track him down.
Oh, his mother must be beside herself. Oh, sister, we should drop by later with some oolong, because she'll be quite upset if Oak isn't home by then. Mm-hmm, it's not. That's will. Not like him.
He's not home by 6 p.m., she gets quite in a tizzy.
She does. Wow. He's very responsible, so.
But also, a picker. That's how that label came off. I knew I labeled it, sister. I knew I did.
So what does the potion do? You didn't actually say.
When I smell this, sister, I'm getting mint.
Yes, definitely mint and some, there's chamomile, a little bit.
Licorice root.
Yes, and slippery elm.
My goodness, this is our breath freshener.
I don't know why, it
took a minute.
I know. I guess I'm used to smelling it sort of more concentrated when we're making it, but it's just sort of a, soothes the throat a little bit and freshens the breath. It's one of our best sellers.
I don't want to give too much information about a different client, customer, but a little bit of halitosis has been a complaint of Oak's. Mm. And if you haven't noticed, then my goodness, sister, our job is done.
Yes.
Well, I really haven't. And, you know, we share a desk a lot of the times when we're at work. And so I would have noticed.
That's why it's one of our best sellers.
This is why we don't advertise, sister. Word of mouth.
We don't need to advertise, sister. May I say something a little bit rude, but consider it sort of, I feel a professional obligation.
Okay, sure.
It a little bit smells like a brewery when the two of you entered.
I smelled the same thing. I wasn't going to be quite as brash as my sister, but you've always been the more outgoing one.
We were talking about the breath freshener, and you seem very nice. And it's like when you have something in your tooth, and then you go and look in a mirror after you've been talking to someone for an hour, and they didn't say anything.
Heavens, think you went into work smelling like this.
Oh, exactly.
You didn't go to Oak's mother.
Did?
Oh, sister, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
That's where he burned his tongue.
We're going to have to leave. We're going to have to leave for lunch early. We're going to have to have that physical.
We'll pop over.
We'll smooth it all over. It'll all be okay, boys.
It'll be fine.
Do you know, when was Oak here last? Like, recently? Here's the thing. We're trying to find Oak.
Oh.
And, like, we lost him smelling like this.
Yeah, yeah. It was a rough night last night.
He's got some paperwork that we need.
A night of frivolity for Oak. How unusual. Yes. Let me check our ledger.
Yes.
She bustles to the back and opens up
a big
book.
I feel like, sister, let's play a little game. You look, and my guess is, I think he popped in here yesterday morning, and he was very excited because he said something about boys' night, and he wanted to make sure he had his breath freshener because he didn't want to be embarrassed. And that's... How did I do, sister? Did I remember?
Impeccable memory, sister. Impeccable memory. That was exactly the last time we saw him.
Yes, yeah, so he was here yesterday morning.
Before boys' night.
So the second potion that's still full, that's just more breath freshener? And he pulls it out of the bag and presents it.
Well, no, because the breath freshener you see here in the display is sort of a green, fresh, minty kind of color. And this looks sort of more iridescent.
Yeah.
Bad.
That's what I said, too. It's a very iridescent. Yeah.
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 So what does this one do?
May I?
Bench takes a sip of the oolong.
Yeah. Here you go. Yeah, by all means.
And I uncork it. Oh. Sister.
Oh. I think. Sister, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that this is maybe for a special someone from Oak.
I do believe I'm thinking the same thing. I don't want to say too much, you see. No. It's personal.
It's personal.
Very personal.
Yes, but I don't...
Bench terms to Cav. I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't know either.
That's a special...
It seems very personal.
I bought it before... Did he buy this one before Boys Night 2?
Oh,
let me look
back. I think...
Just the mouth freshener.
Just the mouth freshener. I think
This was... He bought this from us, 3 weeks ago. He's been hanging on to it for this long, sister. Interesting.
It is. I mean, you're playing a dangerous game with this one, so you want to be careful, don't you, sister, before you share it with the special someone.
What is special? Help Bench out. What is special?
Bench, I think it's like a love potion.
Yeah.
What?
That layman's terms.
People are florping and then love potions.
Oh. Bench.
Sorry, I just found out.
Bench.
Sorry.
We don't. Oh.
No.
Oh, sister, you're okay. Don't. It's fine.
You know how it upsets
me.
Sure.
Mm. I'm sure he didn't mean to. Yes, in layman's terms, a love potion. But of course, I mean, you can't make someone fall in love with you from a potion. No.
It would be irresponsible of us.
It would be very irresponsible.
To control.
Mm-mm. If you have feelings for someone and they also have feelings for you, but maybe for whatever reason
hidden.
You find it difficult to sort of make the first step, you're shy or something, it just
enhances. Existing feelings.
So existing feelings and lowers inhibitions. Just a little. Just sort of verbal inhibitions.
Enough to allow the flow of conversation
exactly.
And let one thing lead to another, if you know what we're saying.
So, wait, Oak drinks this, and then Oak feels confident.
Well, one doesn't drink it on their own.
Oh.
Yeah.
Splitsies.
Oak and his beloved.
Or hope to be beloved.
Hope to be beloved.
Hold on. Does Oak have a beloved? He has a shrine, but does he have a beloved?
This like look of like flicker of recognition goes through Cav's eyes. He said, well, I mean, I've been here about 3 weeks. And he kind of looks down at the potion.
Okay.
Looks back up at Bench and is like, I think this is for me.
I would just like to say, we do not ask those kinds of personal questions.
No. Yeah.
If there is
no
spark between the two and the feelings are not reciprocated, nothing will happen.
Nothing happens. This is why you take it together, and if it enhances, it enhances. If there's nothing to enhance, everybody goes about their day.
Okay, well, I'll just, I guess, tuck this back in the bag and keep it safe for him?
allow me to go get another label, if you will.
Oh, sure. We would feel more comfortable if everything was labeled quite meticulously.
And Ursula Minor bustles into the back and is creating a label.
When you're coming home, Oak, I don't know when. We might ask about this potion, but first we'll visit the middle again.
Hey, friends. Thanks for being here.
Smack dab in the middle.
Right in the middle.
I mean, maybe center right cut. In the middle?
Maybe it's not right in the middle, but like...
Yeah, it shifts a little bit, but like, you know...
We don't like time it and do a hard cut?
Yeah, that's right. Right in the middle sentence.
Yeah. And I'm going to roll... It's time for the middle.
Two of those things were unbelievable. Cutting in the middle of a sentence is
and
us rolling.
Rolling. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Amy does some rolling.
I do. Sometimes I roll. Doesn't go that well, but...
Yeah.
If you're in a box or out of a box or, you know.
It's all box related.
Jack in the box?
Hey, thanks for being here. We really appreciate you. And we want to say that this episode is dedicated to one of our lovely patrons, because that's what we do here. And today's episode is dedicated to Wyatt Bartlett.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Thanks so much, Wyatt.
Wyatt Bartlett sounds like a sheriff from the Old West.
Or just like a very cool person. Like, Wyatt is a cool guy name.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Agreed.
You're right.
Sorry. Our sheriff's not cool. Yeah. Tom is just finding out now.
This is all breaking news to me.
So I like thought maybe, but you know, maybe. Okay, yeah.
Tom just outed himself as a narc.
Like. Yeah. Tom just has all of the old Clint Eastwood Westerns on repeat at his desk every single day. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. That's the way to do it. Thank you, Wyatt. If you want to join us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And there's a whole bunch of great things over there. We talk about them all the time.
It's true. We talk about ourselves all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
We won't shut up about us.
That's right. I mean, most importantly is you can come test it with a 7-day free trial. So there's that. And what else do we have going on that we want to tell people about?
Book club.
Let's talk about book club.
Yes, book club. We will be meeting in March. The book is Snake-Filled Earth by Darcy Little Badger. So read it, listen to it, do whatever you want.
I'm about the third of the way through, and it's very fun so far.
Yeah, I really loved one of her other books that I read. So it's going to be a great discussion with some like real dope folks. So... join us.
If you only read half the book, that's okay too.
That's okay.
Or just the jacket cover. Like, that's all right too. We don't also judge. Fine. Maybe at the end of the conversation, you'll be like all jazzed to go read it.
I read the first sentence and the last sentence and then fill in the gaps between with my own narrative.
Love it.
Yeah, but he does that alone. Russ doesn't come to book club. So if you're looking to get away from Russ, hey, listen, right. if you're tired of Russ, come on over to book club.
I'll go to the other room here just a second. But yes, join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Everybody who joins over there gets to come to book club. If you read.
Yeah, if they want.
Even if you don't read. We just said they did those audiobooks.
Yeah, there's no gatekeeping
on books.
Nope.
Let's stop gatekeeping
the rest of the episode.
No, we're just going to slowly drag it out.
Is that what we're doing? Oh, God, I feel gross.
We're holding everyone hostage, like, listen to us.
I need to know how the sentence ends that we cut in the middle of, so if we could just get back.
That's probably a good idea.
Let's do it. Okay. Right. Thanks, friends.
Love you. Thanks,
bye. Bye.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
We cut back to the stables, and Aladdin, you and Tally are back down in the storage cellar, standing at the mouth of the tunnel.
So, we found the tunnels. Now what do we do with them? Like, do we go in? Do we have a light? What if it gets really dark in there? What if we can't, what if it turns a corner and we can't find our way back out? What if we're stuck in a tunnel until the end of time? What if these tunnels are the reason, like, they covered them up because they're too powerful?
Tally.
Aladdin.
Take a breath. These are holes in the ground.
Yeah.
I have candles in my bucket.
Okay.
You do not need to come with me.
Well, I don't want you to get lost in there, but like...
That's true. Your directionality is impeccable.
When you say go left, I go left. And she holds out her hand. And when you say go right, I go right. And she holds out her hand.
That's okay. Put your hands down, Tally. Okay. Do you want to go in? This is not a thing. It's not time to be brave, Tally. No. This is a recon mission. We're just going in, and we're going to see what it's all about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the information, because information we can use, and if we want to, we could take it to Kinney and Kinney's men, and then maybe, or somebody else, because Kinney's kind of scary.
Aladdin's just staring at her. It's a whole lot of thoughts for one little head.
These tunnels have opened a world of danger.
If we boarded them back up, they would still just be sitting here. That would be like having a bunch of butter and not putting it on your bread.
Butter. So, let's do it. Let's ride these butter tunnels.
Oh, let us never say that again. And,
Ride the Butter Tunnels is not the name of the episode. By
it
the
is,
way.
Though.
Said
no,
by the
thank
children.
You.
Yeah.
And on that horrifically graphic note, Aladdin lights one of her candles. Stay behind me.
Okay.
And if I say run, you got to run.
Which way?
Back.
Back. Okay. Good. Good to know.
You need to run forward. Someone tells you to run.
Well, maybe there's something behind us, and then we should run forward.
You know what, though? I think in the moment, you're going to know.
I'm going to know.
I think
so.
All right,
let's do it. All right.
All right. We venture forth into the tunnel by candlelight.
All right. You take a few steps forward, and the opening of the tunnels begins to narrow a little bit. You're able to crouch and still make your way walking through these tunnels. This might be a silly question, but it's more for the feel of the character. How is your directionality of the city based on where you are entering these tunnels?
I think...
Or we could roll and you could play the game. We could play the game, but like your call.
I think just based on the amount of time that Aladdin has spent exploring the city, it would make sense that I think at any given point, she knows where she's at. I can roll on it, though, because maybe I'm nervous.
Sure.
Let's play a game.
Do you want to play a game? All right,
Jigsaw.
Just over here being my creepy self.
I mean, she
self.
Might... It is dangerous. She's
less
just said she should
when,
know.
When Jigsaw's wearing an Udi, though.
Yes.
Covered in plants. That's all right.
Saw 20.
Not as scary as you think it's going to be. Would this be survival?
Yes.
Okay. 16.
Okay. We'll say, yeah, at least for the first little while, you have a fairly good sense of like which direction you're going. You're heading in the direction of the unnamed forest, which is more towards where you know Kinney's hideout to be. It quickly forks, though. You have a choice to make, and you can go either north or south. You take a look down both. Shine your light, take a few steps down, and the one to the left begins to turn back towards the city. The one to the right continues further north, which, as far as you know, because you haven't ventured out that far, just leads deeper within the forest itself.
Aladdin stops and is doing, like, mental map math. And it's like, all right, if I'm standing here, and that one goes this way, and the forest is that way, and then, but this, and this one curves back around, and she's like turning around as she's like looking at stuff.
Is everything okay?
Tally, stop breathing so loud.
Sorry.
I'm thinking. All right. Okay. Let's go to the left.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to go out into the forest right now.
That goes out into the forest?
Well, the one going straight does, I think. Oh. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's go back this way.
All right, follow me. And she confidently walks.
Okay. Yeah, Tally's following behind you a little trepidatiously, but as you continue, you walk far enough that you feel you have a sense that you are making your way through the center of town. And then the tunnel itself begins to branch off in several different directions. Make another survival check.
9. Now I don't know where I am.
How are we doing? I see your candles about halfway down. Maybe that's a good point that we should like start to go back, and we haven't found like anywhere this comes out yet. Like maybe we come back another time.
Well, yeah, but hold on a second.
Okay.
And out from her bucket, she takes a small dagger, small knife, and carves an A into the earthen walls of the tunnel.
Okay.
All right, let's go back.
As you turn, you catch out of the corner of your eye down one of these branches of the tunnel system. It looks like there's just the smallest shred of daylight down at one of the far ends.
That would be super noticeable in a totally black tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Tally, look.
Oh, hey, is that looks like maybe there's an opening down there.
Mm-hmm. Are you feeling brave?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Shaking her head no,
yeah,
voraciously, so. But says yes.
Is it which of these branches?
You've marked your A, you've turned around, so it is, I'm going to draw a tunnel system.
Yeah,
when
please.
When I build this map that I'm working on, it's taking a long time.
It's all good.
Cities are hard.
It's fine. We've got like, yeah. I don't know, what, like 2-3 years at this,
yeah,
this season's gonna last. We got some time.
You've turned around. You've passed down, let's say, 15 branches. I'm making it hard for myself. 15.
Yeah, right.
Branches.
Okay.
You turn back, and it is the second one on the right that you pass back. So it's the 13th branch. Fuck you, Russ.
Wow.
Yeah. Fuck you, Russ. Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, Tally, I want to go there, but there's something I got to do first. Follow me. And she goes back the way she came. Like,
okay.
Back to home.
Great.
And from the first fork, she writes a 1 and a 2. And then she goes back the same way. And each branch of a tunnel that she comes across, she writes a different number, a 3, a 4. And she's labeling the tunnels for herself.
Okay.
She's savvy like that. She doesn't want to get lost down here.
That makes this branch number 15, because I didn't count those first two.
You did this to yourself. Like, I don't even feel sorry for you at this point. Okay, so.
Yeah.
All right, there. Now we're not going to get lost. Now if we get to use them and you need to go and get something and I need to send you down here, I can be
okay.
Like, Tally, take the first tunnel and then take the 9th tunnel and then whatever.
And then whatever.
And then whatever.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, 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 okay. So are we going to go check out the light?
Heck yes, we are. Okay, right. Let's go.
You have walked all the way back, and then I assume we have to assume you like ran back.
Oh,
and then
oh
all
yeah,
the way
they're
back
children. Down. They're excited.
So your candle is down to like a nub at this point.
As it is flickering, Aladdin brings out another candle and lights it with the dying flame of the first one. Bring one candle in. This is not her first rodeo being somewhere dark.
You make your way down to the end of this tunnel, and it is, in fact, like a wooden panel up in the ceiling. There are a couple steps that go up to it.
Okay, shh. Okay. What did I say about you breathing?
Sorry.
And Aladdin sneaks up to it and, like tries to look up through the cracks.
Yeah.
I assume I see a ceiling.
Yeah, you get close to it. You don't hear anything at first. But as you look up, you hear what sounds like a fire burning on the other side. And you're standing there listening. Tally's holding her breath behind you. You hear some footsteps off to the side, and then you hear the sound of, like, hammer on steel.
At that sound, because before it was just crackling fire, at the sharp sound of metal on metal, the girls, like, duck and hit the floor. Completely forgetting that they're unseen in a tunnel, but that's what happens. A loud noise happens, you scatter. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that?
Clanging.
Is that good? Or is that bad?
But listen, what does it sound like to you?
It sounds like the metal workers.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we're right under Everbeans.
Oh, that's like right in the hot block. That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. If that goes up under here, Tally, do you know what that means?
No.
That means that it probably has different tunnels going to the underneath of different shops all throughout the city.
That's pretty neat.
And I can go wherever I want and no one can see.
Very cool.
Dace can't see. And then suddenly, Aladdin grabs the front of Tally's shirt and hauls her forward. He goes, you cannot tell a soul about this.
Okay.
Not the kids. Nobody. Nobody.
Not Mrs. Figglesworth. No.
You die with this secret.
Okay. Okay. Cross my heart. Stick a needle in my eye.
Pinky promise?
Pinky promise?
Spit on your palm. Shake. For anyone who's listening and like, wow, that sounds like, that sounds real serious. You have not heard children talk.
Yeah.
These are the conversations I hear on the playground and supervision. And then after that, Aladdin lets go of Tally, like satisfied that she's not going to tell a single soul.
Yeah.
And then creeps back up to listen and to just press lightly on the boards to see if there's any give to them.
You press on the boards and it feels like there's a weight on top, but it's not like there's a crate on top. It feels like there's earth on top, and like perhaps that this has been like scuffed away to allow the light through. You push a little bit at first and there's not much movement. You give a little harder push and like dirt and sand begins to pour in from the edges and the different breaks in the board. You give maybe a little too vigorous bump and the hammering stops as you hold it back down and pauses for a moment and then continues again.
Oh, that was close. Tally, I really want to get in there.
You want to go in there right now? It sounds like somebody's in there.
Should we come back at night?
Yep. We're coming back tonight.
Cool.
And we don't get lost going back.
Nope, but you ended your episode in the tunnels.
Fuck! Fuck!
True.
Go
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 3, Episode 6. This episode starred Amy Moore as Aladdin, Carla Maxted as Bonwyn Everbane, Tom Laird as Kevlarin Goldweave, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. Our amazing cover art and character designs are by Matt Garbutt. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Perry Mady, Enguerrand Kiersen, Old School Gamer D, L.A. Branton, Nathaniel Teeter, Luna, and Aaron. Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast with a free 7-day trial. You can help us build the world. We've got so much bonus content coming your way that... Are you even going to have time to listen to it all? Probably. Probably is the answer. Before, after, during that, whenever, did you know we have a newsletter? There's a link tree down in the description where you can sign up for our newsletter, get informed at the beginning of the month of what's coming up, what's coming your way. We've got a lot of things that we're very excited about and we want you to know. So sign up for that. Join us on Discord. Come join us on Patreon. Those are the three main ones. If you're doing any or all of those, we appreciate you. So thank you for listening. That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the fun. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Fuck it! Let's play!
I love the 4 minutes of silence that happens after let's play.
Let's play!
It's usually done for a reason, because, like, If there's silence, then I can pull what I need to remove the room
noise.
Yeah,
but it's funnier.
Yeah.
Good job, Tally. So I think we are like right under where I. My God, what's your last name?
Everbane.
I was like Brisbane. No, that's a place.
Righto, mate. That's what
off to Canberra next.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
The world has still ended.
Darcy was a cafeteria worker.
Do you see that minotaur sitting out in the food court?
What minotaur?
Just an ordinary everyday human, probably.
Egerton, you didn't even need a fairy cake. Why did you eat a fairy cake?
Because I stress eat sometimes.
Egerton was a PR flack for the Imperial government.
This extremely devastating explosion was, in fact, a celebration.
He's a flightless fairy with a sweet tooth.
There was some zombies, but Blatt blew them up. I climbed a tree.
And we're skipping ahead. Yeah.
Blatt used to be a filing clerk.
I'll pneumatic tube it up, sir.
Now he's discovering the secrets of his half-demon heritage, like his ability to summon a soul-bound weapon.
Oh, you're here to destroy time, eh? Well, eat bazooka!
Three normal dweebs, rescued from the end of the world and sent on a last-ditch quest to save all of reality.
There is a way to stop the shattering, but we need you three.
The End of Time and Other Bothers, an improvised fantasy role-playing game set in the world of Alba Salix. Find it in your favorite podcast app or visit otherbothers.com.
There's no evil, so you're welcome.
Flawless logic.
Oh, boy.